Advent. We've talked about love, joy, today we talk about peace. We've talked about the hope, love, and joy that through this Christmas season that Christ himself has brought to be born of a virgin, and through his life and now his resurrecting life, we can also have that. And peace is something that seems not as prevalent in today's world. Everybody's wanting peace. There's a lot of anxiety, a lot of lack of trust and understanding. And where is this world going to? And why is this happening? Why is this happening to me? And where's God in this? But yet we know that Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, has brought us peace. Today our verse for peace is found in Luke 2:14. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the peace that you've brought to us. Through peace of knowing that we can have eternal life. Peace knowing that when we call upon you, you hear us. Peace knowing that you go before us. Just as you told Joshua, not to fear. Lord, help us have the peace that only you can bring. Pray, God, that you would speak through me in a powerful way. Let us be encouraged through the word of God today. It's your name that we pray. Amen. Today we talk about peace, and what a fitting time, not just because of the Christmas season, but with everything that just seems to be happening in our world and happening in our personal lives. I mean, I've talked to several people over the last several weeks, and it just seems like things don't get easier. And the time just seems to get shorter. And peace is something that I wish we could just grab a hold of and hold on to. We have moments, but it seems like it becomes more far and few between at times. But we know that Christ himself has given us peace. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 4 through 9 today. If you don't have your Bible, follow along on the screen here. Philippians 4, starting verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received, heard, seen in me, practice these things. And the word of peace, and the God of peace will be with you. If you have your bulletin on the backside, you can take notes today. That to aim for peace in our lives, there's several instructions that Paul gives us here in Philippians 4. The first thing he says, rejoice. Rejoice. He says, rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice. It's kind of like Darren and worship will say, stand and sing with us. Like, actually sing. Like, let's sing. I'll tell you what, there's something wonderful when the people of God sing aloud. Now, I know some of you are like, Paul, I don't have a great voice. That's fine. Okay? That's why we didn't hand you the microphone. That's why Craig has muted mine throughout the worship service. I can't even trick him. I can't even be back there and just slip mine on and be like, glory. And he'll shut me down if he thinks I'm even going to sing during my preaching. I don't have the greatest voice. My wife has that in our family. But that doesn't stop me from singing aloud. It doesn't stop me from trying to harmonize either. I love harmony. I even try to do it. I'm not great at it, but this is my God, my King, my Savior, and I'm not going to let my lack of ability stop me from rejoicing in who he is. And Paul says, rejoice. I'll say it one more time, rejoice. I tell you what, there's so many great things that God has done for us. We should and need to Rejoice in those things. And let's just say it one more time. We need to rejoice in those things. The second thing is this. Don't be anxious. Don't worry. It's so easy. I'm really not the worrier in our family. There are times that I have done that, and I do worry about that. And I find myself kind of, oh, how am I going to work this out? How's this going to play out? And I can kind of see myself kind of spinning, slipping up. But I'm not really the main worrier. So this is not something that I do a lot. But Paul says, rejoice. I'll say it again, rejoice. He says, don't be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Matter of fact, Matthew 6:27, this isn't in your notes. It says, which of you by anxious can add a single hour of your life? By being anxious, what will you produce that is profitable in that moment? Nothing. The Word of God says, don't be anxious about anything. Do not be worryful about your life. And if you are so bogged down in worry, even if that was, what good can come of that? You can't even add another hour to your life and being in a state of worry. And the third thing he says there is this, pray. Pray. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, prayer, supplication for thanksgiving. And he says this, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We want peace in our lives. We would love sometimes to have peace within our marriages. We would love to have peace within raising our kids or grandkids at times. In the holiday season, some of you have already started planning on the game plan. When you go see, you know, Aunt so-and-so, or when you get there and so-and-so, you've already had the talk, okay? Let's pretend like we don't have that crazy person in the family. If you don't think you do, hi, you're it, okay? Everyone is planning when they get to Christmas, they're talking about you and how we're going to act around you, okay? The truth is we have that. And we're anxious about this, how this is going to work, and we just want to get along. We don't want another fight like we had last year, or 3 years ago, or 10 years ago, because it's been that long since we've all got together again. We all come from families and have things like that. But he says, "Listen, first thing I want you to do is rejoice. Find the things in your life to rejoice about that, and then when you're done rejoicing, do it one more time." Then, after that, don't worry about it. You spend all this time in loving Jesus and rejoicing in how great he is and how marvelous he is and how majestic he is. And then when you've done that, you're doing it again. Then after that, just don't worry. Because if you do, you can't fix anything through your worry. But if you want to do something, pray. Pray. Now, this is the season of Advent. This is the time we're raising money for Lottie Moon. As you can see on the total, God has done some amazing things in our church. And we still have today's offering to count, that which comes in throughout the week, and then also next Sunday as well to the end of the year. And it is amazing to see how this church is just overjoyed with partnering with missionaries worldwide to share the gospel. Today I want to invite to the stage my friends Andrew and Judy Jones. They're missionaries to Europe. They're IMB missionaries. I thought, what a great time to talk about peace in the time of missionaries who are in Europe, boots on the ground. This is who we support through the IMB every single year, Andrew and Judy. So I'm going to let you guys share your heart and how God is working there in Europe through your ministries and how you've seen God bring peace through your ministry.
Thank you, church. Thanks for inviting us this morning to share with you what the Lord is doing in Munich, Germany. Judy and I have been there. We are the IMB missionaries there. We have another team there. But I just want to thank you for your prayers and your finances. Without prayer, we cannot be there, not even a single second. And we also need money. So we want to thank you for that. But that's the map of Europe. And as you see there, 1% of the Europeans are Christians. The same goes for Germany. Only 1%, that means 99% of the Germans of Germans are unbelievers. They do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. They have not made a commitment to follow him. That's lots of spiritual darkness. You might be wondering, how come, you know, Martin Luther brought the Reformation there, and how did Germany become like that? When you are not, you know, when people are not witnessing and sharing their faith with others, over the years, it will be like that. It will become dark. So it's a wake-up call here for us in America, is that we will always be sharing what the Lord has done. If not, our nation also will become like that. So be on fire for the Lord and share your faith with anyone and everyone. The next slide is...
We're talking about peace today and how we should not be anxious. That is one reason why so many Germans are not believers. They call themselves Christians, but they really try to do everything themselves. They're very self-sufficient. If I don't do it myself, it's not going to get done. And in other words, they say, if I have a good education or a good job or good health, it's because I'm doing something right. They often do not acknowledge that God is the one that made that possible. And many do not think about praying for the needs that they have. We talk about here, in everything by prayer and petition and supplication with thanksgiving. That sometimes does not come out of their mouths naturally. So this is the situation spiritually of our area. Go ahead.
There are two more slides. And the next slide is, go ahead, this is yours.
Okay. This is the first time we've done the abbreviated slides. So when we go prayer walking in our city, we go praying in places to find out where God may want to start new work. And where prayer walking is praying on site with insight. If you've never been prayer walking before, go to Boulevardy, walk around, pray for your city hall, pray for your schools, pray for your bakers, pray for the people you see, etc. We were prayer walking one day in this area, and we saw this. We stopped and prayed, and I saw this sign on a post next to me, and that says "God spielt in meinem Leben keine Rolle," which means God plays no part in my life. And when I saw that, it just kind of like a dagger went through my heart. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, God plays no part in my life. But that's something that many Germans will say. God doesn't have a place in my life. But then I read the next line. Er ist der Regisseur, which means he's the director. And I was like, woohoo, God, for somebody, you have become real. And so these are areas of prayer needs we have in Europe. I want to tell you, on that day, we met a lady who was having some problems. She shared problems with us. We told her we were prayer walking. She said, oh, you don't want to talk to me. But as she shared some of her problems, I began to pray for her. And she didn't want, first we asked her if we could pray for her, and she didn't have any desire for that. But as she continued to share, I just felt impressed. There's a lot you need to pray for. So I said, I need to pray for you. So I started praying for her. When we finished praying for her, she looked at us with tears rolling down her face, and she said, I am 62 years old. And as far as I know, this is the first time anyone has ever prayed for me. Now, that's another thing that sticks you right in the heart, to think about that you could be well advanced in your life and never been prayed for. Yet that's not uncommon in Europe. Next slide.
These are some of the people that we've been ministering to. And these are several pictures. And the ladies there, it's a Christmas party. And the guy there in the bicycle is... We have a Bible study with him and others on Wednesdays in a coffee shop. And there are
many of them were mentoring in personal one-on-one relationships.
That's right. And I want to tell you about one story that's... this guy is not in the picture because he's from Iran. I will call him as Ali, just to keep the identity away from you guys. But Ali was a... He's from Iran, so he grew up Muslim, but he never practiced Islam. Because he knew that Islam was not a true religion. All his family were really, really strong Muslims, but he wasn't. But then somehow, you know how the Lord does things. He was befriended by another guy who was a Christian, and he shared his faith with Ali. But Ali was so afraid because of the, you know, he lives in an Islamic country, and so he was afraid, and he said, no, I don't want to hear about it. And so he went away. But then he was a cook, so he went to Venezuela. And while he was there for 2 years, he was able to hear more about Jesus. So he got a New Testament. Somebody gave him a New Testament. He began to read about it, and he knew that Jesus was real. And he came to faith in Venezuela. But then the contract was over. He came back to Iran, and his life was changed. People can see. People could see that his life has changed. He got hold of the friend that witnessed him in the beginning. So he told him, thank you for witnessing to me. I'm now a Christian. He told him a story to him. So they started meeting in secret places to worship, to study the Bible. And there were a group of Christians in that country. So he began to worship with them. But his family found out that he was reading the Bible and that he was a Christian. And you know what happens. Once you know that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, whether it's you grow up in an Islamic country or I'm from India, so if it's a Hinduism, you know, they begin to persecute you. That's what Jesus said in John. Because you know me, you will be also persecuted. So he had no way but to escape. So he left and came to Germany. And you know, we're talking about being anxious, but in everything, you know, with prayer and supplication, give thanks to the Lord. So he was praying. He had to cross the ocean from Turkey into Greece. And so he crossed over three times with a lot of people in a boat. And two times they couldn't make it. The boat was not worthy to go across the ocean. But then the third time, by God's grace, they moved. I mean, they went over to Greece. But during the night when they were going, he was witnessing to another friend about Jesus. You know, he was praying with him, and he said, God will take us there, you believe. So he ends up in Germany. We meet him, and we had to go to the immigration office for his permanent stay, you know, to get a opportunity to stay. So he called Judy and myself to go there with him, and I got to go into the office. But before we went there, all three of us prayed. You know, I know he was anxious, but he also told me, you know, Andrew, I am anxious, but I want to tell you that if the Lord wants me to go back to be a witness for my family and for many others in my country, I'm willing to do that. I know I will die, but I'm willing to die for Jesus. So we went there, we talked, and the guy asked him a lot of questions during the interview, and he answered every one of them perfectly. And I could see the peace of God was upon him. So I want to encourage you, no matter what your anxiousness, whatever you face in 2020, God is with you. God is with you, and he'll give you the peace if you pray and ask him. And so after the interview, we came home. About 2 or 3 months later, he got a letter that it said that he could stay for 3 more years. So that's the story that we want to tell you this morning, that God is real, the Lord is real, Jesus is real, and our prayers are always answered. In Revelation chapter 8, the Bible says that our prayers go into the presence of God and stand before him. Whether you pray with words or in your heart or with your brain, whatever way you pray, the moment that prayer is from you, it goes up into the presence of God and stands before him. That means if our prayers are standing before the presence of God, he will answer them. He may not answer them as according to our time, our wish, but he will answer them. So we will be praying for you as you reach your city, this nation, and across the world.
And this is our little church. I have to just tell you, we are now officially a church, and we praise the Lord. We're meeting in a school, but we may soon move into a new location. So keep praying for our church. Thank you.
How do you say that?
In English, we say Munich.
There we go.
They say München.
I'll say Munich. Let's pray for Andrew and Judy. Lord, thank you so much for the work they're doing there in Europe and the church in Munich. Lord, we thank you for the growth they've seen. We just pray that, God, you would continue to bless them, continue to expand their territory, that they would be able to love and share the good news of Jesus Christ with those who are around, that lives will continue to be transformed by your word and through the work through these people. Lord, I pray you would anoint them and bless them and keep them, or continue to use them in the kingdom of God. And thank you that we as Bull Verde Baptist Church can play a small part of the church there in Munich to allow the word to be proclaimed. Pray you would bless them and keep them. In your name we pray. Amen.
Come see us in Germany.
There's a table outside where you can pick up some materials and prayer cards if you're interested.
Yeah, after the service, Andrew and Judy will be out there. You can ask any questions about them, how you can get personally involved in their ministry, pick up a little some information or some brochures about what God is doing in their church and how to be praying for them, get on a prayer list, and those kinds of things. But in continuing in this idea of peace and continuing in the Philippians chapter 4, there's a finally there. And Paul says, and finally, brothers, whatever, and he goes on and says things. He says, we're talking about the peace coming in, and we've seen God work in our lives the best peace we can offer and understand is the peace of eternal life, knowing that whenever my life may end, I know I'll be staying in the presence of God Almighty. And so it's important that we share our faith or tell people about Jesus or live out the gospel, however you want to define it, where other people will know and understand who Jesus is. But for us personally, How do we navigate that? He says, "In finally, brothers, whatever is true and honorable, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and praiseworthy." If you're filling out your bulletin on the back, you can fill in those words there on the back. He says, "These things I need you to think on." He says, "Think on these things." Going back to anxiety and worry, that's what we're doing. We're thinking. We're sitting in a couch or sitting in our car, we're talking with someone, and we're just worried about things. Our anxiety is high, and we can't control the situation, so we continue to think on the situation. We think about how we can't help out, which just makes it seem to be worse in our lives, how we don't have control over this. We don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, which just compounds the anxiety and compounds the worry. Paul gives us a recipe in this moment in our lives when we face that. He says, rejoice. And you're rejoicing, just don't worry about it. You can't add an hour to your life by worrying. And then he says, pray. But after that, there's got to be some things we do. And he says, think on these things, which means in the context of your marriage, when you're thinking about how your spouse, he's never this or she's never this or they always this or they never. And you're just kind of going back and forth. And throughout the day, next you know, you greet your spouse at the door and you're already angry and you haven't even said a word to each other today because there's an unanswered text, or you didn't quite get the response that was given to you, or you didn't like the response given to you throughout the day. And so the whole afternoon, we allow our minds to just continue to drift. He says, think on these things. In the context of your marriage, think about what is true about your spouse, what's honorable and pure and lovely, commendable, excellent, things that are worthy of praise. Imagine what would our marriages look like instead of just worried about what could happen, where things could be if we just focused in on and we thought on these things. Or the relationship with your kids, or kids with your parents. My mom, my dad, they never this, they don't let me this, they don't trust this. Just take a step back. Instead of worried about all these things, he says, think on these things. Think about what's true and honorable and excellent, worthy of praise and commendable and lovely. Think on these things. Your context of your job. Oh, my team this, my boss this, my employees this, whatever. In the context of your job, think on these things. But then he goes on to say, not just think, but we got to do. And here's some, before we jump onto that, here's some amazing things about our brain. Do you know that the way we think about things causes us to react in a certain way? I did a marriage class on Wednesday nights about three or four weeks ago and had them all close their eyes. And we took a mental field trip. And I think I may have done it in church years and years ago. We talked about going throughout the forest and I took them on this little journey. Everybody had their eyes closed and, you know, that kind of thing. And then I had imagined, I told them, I said, there's a bowl of lemons. Cut the lemons open and squirt all the juice in your mouth. You should have seen the reaction of the people that were in that Bible study. They were people grabbing their jaw, opening their mouth, and, you know, doing. And I said, open your eyes. I said, how many of y'all actually ate a lemon? They're like, none of us. I said, how many of you, your mouth was full of saliva when I said, eat a lemon? Like, several hands went up. Our brains, our minds are so powerful, which is why Colossians 3:2 says, set your minds on the things above, not on earthly things. Romans 12:2 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by renewing your mind. And Ephesians 4:22 says, put off your old self, what belongs to your old manner of life, even though it's corrupt and deceitful in desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. It's no secret that Paul is saying, hey, if you want to not worry about these things, you want to be able to pray about these things and rejoice on these, you need to think on these things. Your mind is powerful. What consumes us in our life is we need to be guarded of that. He says, think on these things. But then he says there at the bottom, he says, think on these things. What you have learned and you received, you've heard and seen in me, practice these things. Now, I got to practice them. You mean to tell me in the relationship I have with this person, how I don't think it's really healthy, or I don't like this about this, or I don't like this about this person, or an aunt so-and-so, or my wife, or my kids, that I want to take time and just praise God, not worry about it, and just offer my prayers to him? And then outside of that, I want to think about who that person is. I want to think about what is lovely and commendable and praiseworthy. And I want to think on those things. And then after I've done thought of those things, I need to put those into practice. Can I give you a homework assignment before we leave today? Within the context of your relationships or the context of your situations, write those things down. Write out those categories over here that's true, honorable, praiseworthy, excellence, commendable. Write those across a piece of paper. And then write all the things about that person or the situation that fit into that category. And then when you get that list done, then act on it. Which, if things aren't going quite well with your kids or your grandkids, instead of spending all the time talking about what's not going well, why don't we talk about the things that are going well? In the context of our relationship with our spouses, instead of always bringing to the attention how they never do this right or they always seem to do this wrong, how about we make a list of the things that are worthy of these things and then we act on these things? I think we'd be amazed how God would show up and God would be able to heal and restore and redeem that which was lost, broken, or needed mending. Paul says, rejoice. I'll say it one more time. Rejoice. Don't worry. Just pray. After that, think on these things. When you've made your list or you're done thinking on these things, then practice them. And he says this, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. Practice them and the God of peace will be with you. Our minds can get way off focus at times. And it can easily drift off balance if we allow it to. But yet if we will remind ourselves to what we know to be true in our minds, what the Word of God says, then in this time of season where there just seems to not be as much peace as we would like, how can we draw back into peace? Think on these things. Practice these things. Rejoice in those things. And the God of peace will be with us. Let's close in a time of prayer.